Today's daf is Bab Metzia Daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. We were middle going through different explanations of what the Mishnah meant with that somewhat complicated case on Daf Samach Amud Beis, where the Mishnah spoke about something about wheat and wine and not having the wine, or yes, having the wine, 30 dinar. It was not abundantly clear from the Mishnah what the Mishnah was talking about. So we had three different interpretations of the Mishnah. We've only seen two of them so far. We had Rabbah, and then we had Abaye. Abaye's explanation involved a sense of Ha'aramas Ribis. And now today we're going to have Rava's four questions on Abaye's interpretation. And Rava instead is going to use a Brice of Raboshia to interpret our Mishnah. And from that Brice of Raboshia, three Chidushim are going to emerge. Then the Gemara is going to discuss some very detailed Ribis cases. If someone made a deal where he gave money to somebody else in order to be paid back payros based on today's prices. I'm giving you the money, and ultimately you'll give me back payros based on the quantity of payros should be based on today's prices of how much I could buy with this money. There's a machlokas amorayim if the person could pay back with money instead of payros at the time of the payment, meaning the payros may go up in value and then he's going to give back money at the time of the payment. It's going to be more than the money that he received. So the machlokas amorayim, whether that's okay. We also have machlokas about what's called sad echad beribis. It's going to be on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Sad echad beribis means we set up an arrangement where there's a deal that there are two ways that you can pay back the loan. One way will involve no ribis whatsoever, not even a shayla. The other way will involve ribis. Is such an arrangement problematic, where you have two options of how to pay it back? Following one of those options may involve an issue of ribis. So then on Amud Beis we're going to have machlokas if you can give money based on today's prices of payros, meaning assuming you're going to get back payros based on today's prices, even if the guy currently doesn't have any payros, if that's going to be a ribis problem. And the Gemara is going to discuss in what way that's different than a normal situation of sa'a b'sa'a, and two reasons why we don't take a middleman's fee into account. Then the Gemara is going to have on the bottom of Ambeis a discussion, if you give money to a farmer for payros before the payros are fully processed, before it's yatza ashar, before we have a set price that's been determined in the shuk, that if you want that deal to be binding, you need to show your face at the field. And the Gemara is going to discuss why it would make a difference if you are physically at the field or not at the field. As if you gave the guy money, why should it matter? The Gemara is going to discuss that. And then at the very end of the daf, it's going to discuss also a very relevant topic, halacha l'maisa, if a guy gives a discounted price for stuff that he already owns but he doesn't yet have access to. Meaning, I need cash right now for an item that I'm selling. It's really worth $10. I'll give it to you for $8 because I could use the cash right now and I happen to not have access to the stuff in order to sell it to somebody else. I can't just easily sell it because I don't have access to it right now. I lost the key. I don't have... So am I allowed to give a discounted price because you're giving me the money right now when I need the money, whether that's permissible or not. So a lot of interesting, complicated, ribis-related cases, as happens in Ezeu Neshech. So let us begin. We are holding at Omar Le Rava. So what Rava is responding to is Abaye's understanding of our Mishnah. Abaye's understanding of our Mishnah was that the borrower said to the lender, I would like to borrow 30 dinar. The lender said, look, I don't have 30 dinar, but here's what I have. I have wheat that's worth 30 dinar, and he gives him wheat that's worth 30 dinar with the understanding that the borrower is going to pay him back 30 dinar, but then the lender says, you know what, let me buy back that wheat from you for 25 dinar. And the borrower is desperate enough for money that he actually sells it back to him for 25 dinar. So the lender is now giving the borrower 25 dinar for it to buy back his own wheat, and the borrower is still going to owe the lender 30 dinar, because that was the initial deal, that he's going to give him back 30 dinar. So the way he understands the Mishnah is that if when it comes time to pay back, instead of paying back money, he pays back wine. So if he had wine that he could give him at 30 dinar for the time of the payment, he had wine that he could that he's giving to the malva, 30 dinar worth of wine based on what he owes him, that would be fine because he's giving back wine. wine. He's not giving back money, so there's no isra of haramas ribis, because the malva gave him money and he's getting back fruits. That's not at all a ribis problem. But if the lova doesn't have wine, so since he doesn't have wine, so it turns out that the malva is going to get money back, so then that's going to be machzik ribis. It's not actual ribis, because the deal was never I'm giving you 25 dinar for you to give me back 30 dinar. The 25 dinar was a separate purchase. He just happened to have bought that wheat for 25 dinar. The fact that he owes him 30 dinar was from when he originally gave him the wheat. That was 30 dinar. So it's not actual ribis, but it's haramas ribis. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about, whether yesh lo yayin, ein lo yayin, that's about if he's going to pay him back with wine or he's not going to pay him back with wine. So Rava says, I have four problems with interpreting our Mishnah. I have no problem with the halacha. Four problems with interpreting that that's what our Mishnah is saying. The wording of our Mishnah gives no indication that that's what it's talking about. So about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the page, Amalei Rava I hachi, if the Mishnah is dealing with a case where he borrowed wheat from him with the intention to pay back money, why does the Mishnah say, Tain li chiti? No, de mei chiti mi ba'ilei. That he's asking him back at the time where he's supposed to get paid back, give me my wheat? No, he already bought back his wheat. He's not asking for his wheat. What he's asking for is the value of the wheat. So says Gemara, okay, tani de mei chiti. So change it. The Mishnah should say de mei chiti. But then Rava says, but I have another problem. It says, shani mochran. Give me the wheat that I want to sell. Now, according to the way Abai is understanding it, he's asking for de mei chitim. He's not asking for wheat that he can sell. He's asking for money. So shemachartim lachmi ba'ilei. He should have said, give me wheat that I sold to you. So the Gemara says, tani shemachartim lach. Okay, so change that too, and make it conform to Abaye's explanation of the Mishnah. So Rava says, yeah, but I still have another problem, because it says that the lova goes to the malva and says, harei chitecha asuyos halai b'shloshim dinarin, that, you know what, I owe you 30 dinar worth of wheat, so instead I'll give you yayin that's worth 30 dinar. Sounds like it's only now that he's assessing that he owes him 30 dinars worth of wheat, and instead he's agreeing to give him wine. The way Abai is explaining the Mishnah, he always owed him 30 dinar. That was the original agreement. That was the original deal, that he was borrowing 30 dinar. So it says, Mar hachi kamerlei, b'dmechi techa shasis alai b'shloshim dinar, harei elucha atziben yayin. The yayin ain't low. What the Mishnah means to say is, yes, the 30 dinar of wheat that I owe you, so it was since it's 30 dinar, so let me give you wine of 30 dinar. He's not changing the number. The number was always 30 dinar. What he's adjusting at the time of payment is he's saying, let me give you wine that's valued at 30 dinar, and he happens to not have wine. So that would be a violation of haramas ribis. But if he had wine, it would not be a violation of haramas ribis. So then Rava says, but I have a fourth problem. V'habedinar zav akor v'chein ashar katani. It says that he bought him wheat, and he bought wheat from him, and dinar zav akor, a kor for a dinar zav, and that was the price. Now, originally the price of the wheat was 25 dinar, was 25 dinar, not 30, and it was only later that it went up to 30 dinar. So that doesn't fit at all with Abaye. Abaye says no, it was always 30. He gave him back. He bought back his wheat for 25 because the guy was desperate, but it was 30 even meikara. So that doesn't seem to fit our Mishnah at all. So Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says an entirely different interpretation of our Mishnah, and as a way of introducing his interpretation, he points out that kisha chivna, that he's confident that when he dies, Rava says, well, you know, when I die, Rabbi Yoshe Nafat Levasi, Dimitaritzum Asnisa Kavasei, I'm pretty sure Rav Oshi is going to come to greet me in the Olam HaEmes, because I work really hard to explain Mishnayos the way Rav Oshia interprets it in Brisos. That Rav Oshia has many Brisos where he elaborates on the Mishnayos, so I'm sure Rav Oshia is going to come to greet me because I work so hard to explain his Shitos. That is a common theme we find in Svarim. The Sefer Chasidim writes in Simen Tav Kuf Nun Tes that any tzaddik that explains the words of another tzaddik, an Amora that's Mefari Shatana, or an Amora from an earlier generation, when he dies, that Tana is going to come be mekabel in b'sever panim yafos, and to be mevakish from the malachim to give him an easy easy time in the Olam HaEmes, and to be mamed him lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak nice things about him in the Olam HaEmes. And he gets it from this Gemara, that Rava works with the assumption that that's what's going to happen. It is common, if you find Svarim that are written to defend words of earlier Rishonim, that in the Hakdama of such Svarim, they write like this, that I'm kind of, the Ramban writes this way about the Rif. The Ramban defended the Rif from the attacks of the Balamar, and he says, you know, this is going to pay off, because the Rif is going to be there for me in the Olam HaEmes, when Magine Shlomo says the same thing. His, the whole Sefer is to defend Rashi from the attacks of the Balei HaTosos. He says, yeah, Rashi's going to help me out. When the question is, does it work the other way? If you attack an earlier Sefer, so Kachi Darka Shel Torah, that there should be a Melchamta Shel Torah, and that you have to read, but it's got to be L'Shem Shemayim. So that Sefer Chassidim says, if you do it L'Shalo L'Shem Shemayim, then it's going to work the other way as well. But if it's done L'Shem Shemayim, then a person has nothing to worry about. But that's also a minhag, that people who write Sfarim, where they go against other earlier generations, that they ask, they go to the Kever, they ask Mechila. So all of this is part of this idea that Rav is expressing, that Rav Oshia is going to be on my side in the Olam HaEmes, because I'm explaining a Mishnah to be like him. So what's his explanation? So Rav says, the Brisa goes as follows. You have a person that owes his friend $100. So the malva goes, the lender goes, and he stands right by the goren of the borrower. And he says, you know what? Give me the money that you owe me. You owe me $100. Give me the $100. And the reason I want the $100 today is because I would like to go out and buy some wheat. Apparently, wheat is pretty cheap today, so I'd like to go out and buy some wheat. So the lover says, you know what? We're right by my field. I don't have any money right now, but look, I have plenty of wheat. So how about you want the money for anyway is wheat. Let me give you wheat that's worth $100. Save us something like Sharshalakshav. And I know you may not want all of the wheat right now, so I'll owe you $100 worth of wheat based on today's prices. So even though the wheat may go up in value by the time you actually take delivery of the wheat, by the time I actually give you the wheat, but we can set it at today's prices. He gives man chitin limkar, and then later on it comes time for the more expensive wheat to be delivered, and he can easily sell it for a higher price. Amar lo, and the malva says to the lova, okay, now today I'd like to take delivery. Tein li chitin, shani rotz l'machrom likach ben yayin. Because now the market conditions are such where wheat is very expensive. So if you're still going to give me the $100 of wheat at the previous prices, I'm going to get a nice amount of wheat, and I'm going to be able to sell it for a good amount of money, and I plan on investing it in wine, because wine today happens to be very cheap. So Amar lo, the lova says, you know what, I'm not going to give you wheat. Yesh li yayin shanino sinach. But I have wine. Anyway, all you can do with the wheat is buy the wine. I have wine that I want to give you in exchange for the wheat. So tseva asan alai kashar shalachshav. Let's figure out how much wine is worth right now and how much wheat is worth right now. And I'll owe you that amount of wine. So that's what I'll give you. He gives man yayin limkar. It comes time where wine now goes up in value, and he had not yet taken delivery of the wine. So he says, look, I'd like the wine to be delivered right now. Now it's at a high price, and we already had fixed it in at the lower price. Because now shemen could be bought for a lower price. So I'd like a delivery of the wine, so I could sell the wine and go and buy oil with it. He says, you know what? I'm not going to give you the wine. I'll give you the oil that you plan on buying anyway with that wine. Let's figure out the price of oil today, and that's and the price of wine today, and I'll give you the amount of wine I was supposed to give you. I'll give you that amount in oil based on today's prices. So kulam, in all of these deals where he keeps switching out one item for the next item based on the elevating prices, im yeshlo, if the lova actually has these peros at the time that he's committing to give these peros, mutter, he's allowed to do that. It's not a violation of ribbis, because at the time that he says, look, I have wheat, wheat, that and let me give you that, the wheat itself, it's ki'ilu, it already belongs to the malva. And therefore, when the wheat subsequently goes up in value, it's as if it was already paid, and it went up in value in the malva's rishus. And so therefore, it's not ribis at all. Even though the malva didn't actually take physical possession of the wheat, since if the lover wanted to back out, he would be subject to a misha para, meaning he would not be allowed to back out because he has this arrangement with the malva, so it would be subject to a misha para to back out. It's as if the malva has already taken it, and therefore there's no ribis. But ein lov, the lover does not have these peros that he's committing to give, usher. Then you're not allowed to do this, because since he doesn't have the peros, the malva cannot be said to have acquired anything. So by agreeing to give you wheat at a time where wheat is going to be worth a lot more money than it is now, but I'm giving it to you at today's prices, so I'm going to give you more money based on the fact that I don't have something right now. So that's a violation of ribis. So that is what's going on in our Mishnah, Rava says. Originally, he gives him a dinar zahav for wheat, and even though he doesn't have wheat, since the price is already determined, it's already yatsa ashar, and he's giving him money, it's as if he has bought wheat for that money, and if they go up in value, it's gone up in value in the rishus of the kona, and he can ask him for wheat at the higher price when it does go up in value. But if b'makom chov hachitim, if he wants to, instead of giving him wheat back, he wants to give him wine back based on the price of wine on that day. So if he actually has wine, that's fine. That's ki'ilu that he's being kona the wine right now, and whatever value the wine goes up by subsequently, it's in the rishus of the malva, and it's not a problem. It's not ribis. But if he doesn't have wine, and he didn't give him money, he's just being mechayiv himself in wine for the chov that he owes him, so that's going to be a violation of ribis, exactly like Rabbi Hoshea says. Umay lokach, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that he bought wheat for a dinar zav of kor, lokach balva aso? It means in exchange for the halva'a that he owed him a dinar zav, he became chayiv to him wheat instead of giving him a dinar zav, but he never actually gave him a dinar zahav. That's how Rava explains our Mishnah, exactly like Rav Hoshea explains the Braisa. Now Rava points out, if you accept this Braisa of Rav Hoshea, what emerges is three different chidushim la'alacha. Amar Rava shema mina de Rav Hoshea tlas. Three things we learn from Rav Hoshea. Number one, shema mina de mamidin milval gabe peros. That a person who has a chov against his friend, he's allowed to be posek to give peros instead of the chov, instead of money, based on today's prices, and he could deliver those peros even when the peros go up in value. That's not a violation of ribis. We don't say that you're not allowed to do that because it's not similar to a money at the time of the psikas haperos. So he was never in which case he would not be kona the peros. It would not be considered in his rishus. No, we assume it's not a ribis problem. You're allowed to do that. Now, second thing we learn from this is that this heter to be posek peros on the alvai, even when he doesn't actually give him money, hudiyeshlo. That's only if he actually has the peros. But if he doesn't have the peros and the hope that he's one day going to get the peros, that would in fact be a ribis problem. And the third thing we learn is shema mina from the fact that the brisa allows that after he was ready posek on peros and the peros went up in value, that you can adjust it for a different pre based on today's value, that isa lid Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi Hoshea must accept the shita of Rabbi Yanai. Why? What did Rabbi Yanai say? Dam Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said as follows, that a person who's posek an amount of peros to pay based on today's prices, and then they go up in value, and the guy wants his peros, and the mocher doesn't have the peros, the lokeach can get money for the value of the peros as they would be today, meaning mali hein, mali demehen. Meaning, if initially you owed me $25, but you said, you know what, instead of $25 of wheat at today's value, and then by the time it comes to pay back the wheat, that same amount of wheat is now worth $30, you can give me back $30. You can actually give me back the cash, because if you're allowed to give me back what is currently
certainly $30 worth of wheat, there would be nothing wrong with giving back $30 worth of cash. And that's going to be, as we're about to see, against the Shita of Rav, who says that no, you have to give back peiros. That was the deal. Giving back cash, that already looks terribly like ribbis, that you're giving back more money than you received. You can make such a deal with peiros, but not with money. If the peiros went up in value, you can't now exchange those peiros for cash. That looks like ribbis. Whereas Rabbi Yani Amar Mali Hein Mali Dmeyan, what difference does it make if you're giving back $30 worth of wheat, or you're giving me back $30 cash? Either way, you're giving me back the same value, so it's not going to be ribbis. So says the Gemara, we have a kasha and Rav, a challenge to Rav. Meisvei, it's said in the Brisa of Roshia, kulam im yeshlo mutter. What do we keep on saying? That im yeshlo mutter, that all the deals that you kept on swapping out the wheat for the wine, for the oil, etc. So if the lova had the peros at the time that he was mechayiv himself in them, you're allowed to do that. It's not a violation of ribbis. So apparently, setting a price on the peros is not only if he actually gets the peros themselves, even if he gets other peros. So what difference does it make if he gets other peiros or he gets money? Isn't that all the same? So don't you see that you can give him money? He's not giving the original peiros that they had agreed upon anyway. So Amarav Huna Amarav Bishamashach. No, Rav would explain that brisa must be talking about where the malva already did a kinyan on the wheat or the wine or the oil at the time that they made the deal. Meaning at the time they made the deal that, you know what, you don't have wheat right now, so you're not going to pay me back, but you can pay me back wine at that value, so now I'm making a kinyan on that wine. And therefore when the wine now goes up in value and instead I'm going to want oil later on, I'm exchanging my own wine for the oil that you're going to give me. It's not that it's a violation of ribbis that because I waited on it to take delivery, now it's going up in value. Ibisha Mashach Srichel Memer says, well, then it's become somewhat obvious. If he already did the Mashiach, if he already did an actual kinyan, so what? You need to tell me that if I made a good investment, that I'm allowed to cash in on the investment. I mean, I bought wine at a cheap price. I made a kinyan on it. It's my wine. And now wine goes up in value. So you need to tell me that I'm allowed to barter that wine for oil? Of course I'm allowed to do that. What would be the problem? Now the Chiddush is, he didn't actually do a Mashiach. That's not the form of kinyan he did. He had designated a specific spot in his house for those peiros, and the brice is being mechadesh that's enough to qualify as a kinyan. It's ki'ilu, the malva made the kinyan on those peiros, and therefore when they go up in value, they go up in value in the malva's possession. So Shmuel suggests that maybe we can explain the brice of Roshia according to Rav slightly differently. Shmuel Amar Hamani Rabbi Yudi Damar Tzarech Rabbis Mutter. Maybe Rav would tell you that the Brisa of Rav Oshia just follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that Tzadach HaBribis is Mutter, that any time where you make a deal, and you don't know at the time that you make a deal, if the way it's going to be paid back is going to involve ribis or not. There are two ways to pay it back, so that's going to be Mutter. Meaning, I give you money and you're supposed to pay me back peiros in exchange for that money based on today's prices. So if you want, you can give me back money instead of peiros. Meaning, if when the time comes to pay the peiros, we can reassess what those peiros are worth at that time, and you want to give me cash at that time, happy to take that as well. So I don't know what you're going to choose to do. If you give me peiros at that time, it's not ribbis at all. We already set it at today's prices. I'm giving you money now, you can give me those peiros. If you choose to give me money for those peiros based on what those peiros will be worth at the time of payment, so that would be ribbis. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's mutter l'chadchila, that you're allowed to do that. So Rav holds like the Chacham, disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that tzadech of ribbis is aser. That's why Rav doesn't allow taking money as in exchange for those peiros that have since gone up in value. Where do we find this machlokas? Titania, we have a brisa that says this machlokas in a pretty clear way. Someone owes somebody else $100, and the lova makes to the malva his field as a mecher, meaning they make an agreement that if I don't pay back the money that I owe you, so then the money that you gave me is not a loan, it is a purchase price of this field. You'll be able to take this field from me if I don't give you back the money that I owe you. So bizman shamocher ochel peros, if the love continues to eat the peros from that field, mutter, that's not going to be a problem of ribbis at all, because if he gives back the money, so then the field had nothing to do with anything, so he borrowed $100, he gave back $100, there was never a problem. If he doesn't give back the money, so then it was a mecher, there was no loan to begin with. He sold him this field, and he's just taking delivery on the field, not delivery, but he's taking possession of the field a little bit later on. That would be no problem. Lokech ochel peros aser. But the problem is going to be is what if the lokech, meaning the malve, the one who lent the money, is eating the peros in the interim. He has no idea how this is going to play out. So let's play out the possibilities. If the guy doesn't pay him back and he becomes the owner of this field, that would be no problem. I paid you the money. I immediately, right after I gave you money, we now know that was a purchase of this field, and I immediately started eating from this field. That would be no problem. But what if the guy pays him back the money, and therefore the field never belonged to him? So Reuven goes and he gives Shimon $100. Shimon is now going to go give Reuven back $100. But in addition to that, Reuven's been eating from Shimon's field for a month. So he not only gets $100 back, he's also going to get all the peros that he ate from the field. That's what we would call tzad echad beribis. We don't know how it's going to play out. Is Shimon going to give him back $100, or are you just going to give him the field? And that would make all the difference in the world. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So lekeach ochel peros aser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af bisman shal lekeach ochel peros mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda says that's going to be mutter. Why is it going to be mutter? Because it must be that Rabbi Yehuda holds tzad echad beribis is mutter. That since we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, it's only tzad echad beribis and it's mutter. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa bebitus ben Zunin. He says, you know, there was a story of this fellow Bitus ben Zunin sha'asa sadeu mecher, where he had this exact deal al pi Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, based on pesach of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah velokeach ochel peros haya, and it was the lokeach or the malva, depending on how you view him, who is enjoying the peros that entire time. Amrlo, they said, what? Misham raya? Mocher ochel peros haya lo lokeach. You got it wrong. You got the story wrong. You can't bring a raya because you got the whole story backwards. It was not the lokeach that was being ochel peros. It was the mocher that was being ochel peros. And as we said, when the mocher is ochel peros, there's absolutely nothing to be concerned about. My benayu, what is this machlokas though between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chamim? Amar abayt, tzad echad beribis, ika benayu. It seems very obvious that the machlokas is about tzad echad beribis. Rava Amar says, nah, it's not about tzad echad beribis. If the malva doesn't give the lover back the demei peros that he ate, then in a chinami that would be ribis, and even Rabbi Yehuda would hold it's ribis. Ribis alman asahachsir kibinayu. Now clearly the way the arrangement is, Reuven's giving Shimon $100. Shimon, you have two options. You can either pay me back $100 in a month from now, or you can give me this field in a month from now. In the meantime, I'm starting to eat from this field. Now, what happens if he decides not to give him the $100? Everything's fine. You give me the field, I gave you $100 for the field, everything's fine. What happens if you do decide to give me the $100? What about the fact that I've been eating from your field? Of course I'm going to pay you back for that. Otherwise it would be ribbis. It can't be that I'm giving you $100, you're giving me back $100 plus a month worth of eating from your field. Of course I'm going to pay you back for that, says Rava. It's not a tzadech of ribbis. There's no way we're going to allow for ribbis. Question is, yeah, I'm going to pay you back, but was I allowed to take it in the first place? Can you take ribbis almanas to pay it back? So that's what they're really arguing about. Ribbis almanas the hax here. Amar Rava, Hashad Amar Rabbi Yanai. Now that Rabbi Yanai has told us Mali Hein Mali Dmeyan, when it comes to paying back the peros, Rabbi Yanai had this svara that we had set a price when the peros were cheap, that this is the amount of peros that you're going to give me. So when it comes time to deliver the peros, he can give the value of those peros as well. Well, Mali Hein Mali Dmeyan Amrinan. Mali Dmeyan Mali Hein Nami Amrinan. We would say in the reverse as well. If the price was already set, there's no advantage if the mocher has peros, which are worth that amount of money that the lokeach gave to the mocher from that if the mocher has the money themselves, so the lokeach can give the mocher money as is, and the mocher is able to be kona perus b'shuk and uposkin al sharsha b'shuk al pishein lo, and therefore you can determine perus based on the price in the shuk right now, even though I don't have the peros right now. Meaning, you want to give me money right now, and I'm going to owe you peros at today's prices, I don't need to actually have the peros at today's prices, because I have the money you just gave me. So if I have the money you just gave me, I could easily buy the peros at today's prices. So it doesn't make a difference. Peros and once you say that peros and money are interchangeable, as long as the price has been determined, so when you lend me money right now, for me to give you peros at today's prices, I don't need to actually have physical possession of peros at today's prices. I have the money that you just gave me, so I can easily buy peros at today's prices. So they asked on Rava, you know, we said in the Brisa Ravoshia, Kulam im yeshlo mutter im ein lo aser. We kept on saying, though, that if he doesn't have it, he can't switch the wine for the oil and the wheat for the wine. He's got to have it. So Amalu Rava said, no, hasam halva'a. That's because the lokeach didn't give the money to the mocher in exchange for peros that he wanted to buy. He was being posek that for his chov. There is no money that was actually changing hands in those cases. It's what? You owe me wheat. Instead of wheat, let me give you wine. Instead, you know, you owe me wheat and I want to buy wine. Okay, so instead of wheat, I'll just give you the wine. Instead of wine, give me your... There's no money changing hands in those places. So I can't say, let me give you wine at today's value if I don't have any cash with which to go and buy that wine. So, hachazvini. But over here, when we're saying, what difference does it make if you have the peros or the money? Yeah, if you're actually giving me cash in hand, and I can easily buy peros at today's prices, then we'll say, mali dmei and mali hein. What difference does it make if I have the money or I have the peros? Good. The Gemara is now going to explain the reason that it's mutter to be posek on Shar Shabashuk based on the current prices, even though he doesn't have the actual peros in hand. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dam Tavai, my time Ramar Rabban posek on Shar Shabashuk al pisha in lo, the Amle Shkila tu Vesech Veshadi Achizre. Because the guy can say, you know, you think you're really doing me a favor by setting the prices at today's, by setting the amount of peros you can give back at today's value? You're not doing me a favor. I have money right now. There's nothing more valuable than money. If I wanted to get peros at today's value, I don't have to lend you the money with an agreement that you're going to give me back peros at today's value at some time in the future. I could just invest in the peros myself. So you're not really doing me any favors. So Maya, honestly, you know, if I had the money and I didn't have to lend you the money, I would take that money and I would go invest it in peros, and then the peros would go up in my possession, and I would be my good investment. Amle Abay Rav Yosef, Abay says Rav El Meata, if you say such a svara that there's no ribis on the profits of those peros, because even without the halva'ah, he could have just made those profits himself, so muta luvel sa b'sa. So then, which turned out that sa b'sa, which is a classic form of ribis to Rabbanan, should be mutter. Because what are we saying? That I'm not allowed to give you a flower with the agreement that you're going to give me back a flower in a month from now, because flower may have gone up in value by then. What, can't I just say to you, no, I'm going to give you a flower with the understanding you're going to give me back a flower, because you're not benefiting me at all by giving me back a flower. If you didn't need flour right now, I would just keep my flour, and guess what would happen to it? It would go up in value, and therefore I'm not gaining anything by having you have my flour for the next month. If I had it for the next month, it would also go up in value. I don't need your favors. You're not doing me any favors. The Malvik said, why, you think my chitim would get ruined in my storage houses? My chitim would be safe and sound and continue to go up in value in my own storage houses. And yet we still paskin that it's also to do sa b'sa. So if this svar is really correct, you know, that you didn't do me any favors, so then why is it mutter, why is it also to do sa b'sa? So Amalei, Rav Yosef explained to Abaye, no, hasam halva'a. Hachazvini. By Sabisa, it was meant as a halva'a. So the Chum Masrid, even if he's not benefiting from it, because he was actually lending him something, there wasn't a sale going on. I'm lending you this flour, and you're going to give me back flour. But over here, when we're talking about setting a price for money that I'm giving you right now, with the deal is that you're giving me payros, in general, we don't call that a loan. If I go to a store and I give money and they give me a product, that's not called a loan. That's a sale. So, it's a sale where I'm not taking immediate delivery, but it's a sale. So therefore, we're going to say, is he benefiting from the time of this sale, from the time value of money on the sale? So if he's not benefiting at the end of the day, he's not doing him any favors, the lender's not benefiting from it at all, so then we're going to say that it's not a problem of ribis. Amle ad barab al rava. So ad barab said to rava, why is it that the lokeach is not nana? Of course he's nana. Look, if he wanted to take his money right now and invest it in peros, he would need to go find people who are selling peros. And normally, in order to do that, you have to hire a middleman who's going to go around looking for a good deal for you, for a farmer who's selling these payrolls. So you are gaining that money, meaning by me giving you this money with the understanding that you're going to give me back payrolls at today's prices, I now don't have to pay a middleman in order to buy those payrolls. So aren't you at least benefiting that? So two answers. So Rava says, yeah, inochinami. He's giving him that little bit extra for the middleman as well, meaning he's paying him like the middleman. It's not that I'm giving you the exact value of the payrolls at today's value and you're going to give me back the payrolls. I'm giving you what the payrolls are worth at today's value plus a middleman's fee, and you're going to give me back the payrolls at today's value. And Ravashi Amar, no, a middleman. Zuzi dinshinu avdilef savsurte. You know what the best middleman is? Having cash. You know, there are farmers that are looking to sell things. If you have cash, they'll find you. You don't have to. You're not going to need a middleman in order to find anybody. So there's no money savings of a middleman involved at all. So you taka aren't benefiting whatsoever. Rabbi Rav Yossi Dami Tavayu. Another din about establishing prices. Rabbi and Rav Yossi both say, Hayman Diyov Zuze Atar Harifa. So a guy sets a price for payros, but the thing is, there is no Shar Bashuk yet. It's too early in the season, too early in the process for there to be a set price in the Shuk for these payros. So when it's still in the first harvest and nothing's been processed yet, everything's still in the sheaves, we don't even know what the grain is going to look like, so we set a price. So if we set a price and I'm paying you right now for X amount of wheat, and I want that to be binding, I need to show up by the Beis HaGranos. I need to show my face by the Beis HaGranos in order for that to be binding. So it says, why do I have to do that? If it's in order to make it a kinyan, but there is no kinyan over here. Showing up is not a kinyan, meaning to say that he has to show up doesn't make it his. And if it's in order that the guy should not be allowed to back out on the deal, that he should have a mishapara, well, if he made a deal, there's a mishapara, meaning if he made a deal and he took money, so then there's a violation of a mishapara if he tries to back out. Why does it matter that I show my face? Even if I don't show my face, he's not allowed to back out. The issue is not about a kinyan, it's about a mishapara. Why do I need to show my face? Shouldn't there be a mishapara anyway? Now here's the trick that people would do. They don't know which farmer is actually going to have good produce or bad produce. They know ma'os is ein konos. So when they put money down, nothing's happening yet. The kinyan is not final. They can easily get that money back. So they go to two or three different farmers. They put money down by each of them, and they'll wait to see who has the best stuff. And that's going to be the one they're going to stick with. And the other guys, they're going to cancel the orders, and they're going to get their money back. See, mischazi le samcha daite. So the farmer doesn't have any smichas das that there's any deal over here, and therefore he would not be in violation of mishapara for backing out. But if you show up at his goren, then he knows that you're serious about him, about using this deal, because you wouldn't show up at all these different granos. So therefore, he would get a mishapara if he backed out. Ilo, Amarle, and if he didn't show up, Amarle Amina de Shapira Mididi Vishakalta. So he could say, I assumed that you found better payrolls and you were going to take that, you were going to take your money back. So therefore, there's no binding arrangement on either side. Amr Vashi Hashadam Mishum Sam Khadaita. Now that you say that it's all about Smichas Das, Afilu Ashke Bashuka Amalay Varmalay Sam Khadaita. It doesn't have to be at the Gurin. Even if he happens to run into him at the Shuk and he makes the and he says something to him, oh, I'm relying on you, that also is enough to create a sense of Smichas Das, where there would then be a Misha Para. Okay, but we'll pick up with Amr Rav Nachman tomorrow.